We are so glad that you're here. Thanks for joining us. If you're watching later, you can check in on Facebook Live even then. Who is with me, you may wonder? I have Chelsea, I have Cora with me. Brent is going to sing one of my favorite hymns, one of my favorite songs. Today, King is taking care of the sound booth as usual. Grab some communion supplies, some bread, some cracker, whatever you got. Some juice, some leftover wine, some water, whatever you're using. For that, we'll share communion together a little bit later in our service. All right. Chelsea, in a moment, is going to come read our psalm for the day, and Cora is going to light our candle right now. Then Chelsea will come up. So, Cora, how about you come light our candle, and then Chelsea will read, and then Brent will sing.
Good morning, friends. I'm excited to read this psalm, Psalm 29. This was a psalm that I would come to when Steve and I lost our house in floods twice. You are going to hear that as I read that, and I think this is a beautiful psalm to lean into specifically in this time that we find ourselves in. Psalm 29. Honor the Lord, you heavenly beings. Honor the Lord for his glory and strength. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord echoes above the sea. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty sea. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord splits the mighty cedars. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord strikes with bolts of lightning. The voice of the Lord makes the barren wilderness quake. The Lord shakes the wilderness. In his temple, everyone shouts glory. The Lord rules over the floodwaters. The Lord reigns as king forever. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. May it be so.
Good morning, church. Today we're going to sing about the love of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or man can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When hoary time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hill and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the troll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints' and angels' song.
To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. What a great line. That is. Thanks, Brent. All right, our Roots friends, our elementary age folks, you should have a Leaves bulletin that looks something like this. Miss Chelsea read Psalm 29 earlier. That's on the front and on the back. I wrote a very specific prayer for you this week, knowing what has gone on this week and what is to come this upcoming year. So this prayer is for you specifically. There's also some places where you may want to draw or highlight things, but that prayer is for you right there. Okay, Cora is going to come and read our scripture for today, and then I will come back up and preach.
Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being split apart and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased."
Let's pray together. Holy God, who meets us where we are, we give you thanks for this day. Pour through me now the gift of preaching. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. It's because of Christ we pray. Amen. I would like to start with my yearly reminder to you that the Christmas season is 12 days long. In my house, though, Christmas is just one day long because on December 26th, Chelsea makes quite sure that all of our lovely Christmas decor goes into an 11-month hibernation inside our garage. But since the season is 12 days old instead of one, it means that Christmas ended last Tuesday on January 5th. This is why we have the song, The 12 Days of Christmas. It's why Shakespeare wrote a play called Twelfth Night. This is why in some countries on January 5th, there is a big celebration complete with egg tosses and a game called Snapdragon, where a contestant is required to pluck out dried fruit from a tray of flaming brandy. I didn't get far enough in my research to know how exactly lighting alcohol on fire connects to the birth of the Savior of the world, but I can only assume that it somehow does, and I can respect that. After the revelry of January 5th, when the 12 drummers drumming have completed their set and the party hosts have cleaned up the eggshells strewn over their backyard, January 6th moves us out of the Christmas season and into a season the church calendar calls Epiphany. The season of Epiphany is about the breathtaking manifestation of the divine presence right there in front of you. And it always opens up with a story from Matthew chapter 2, a beautiful and moving story, but one with a heartbreaking conclusion. We are told in chapter 2 of a few stargazers who read the night skies in order to predict events that may happen in the future, a horoscope of sorts. These astrologers lived hundreds of miles east of the Christ child's bed, maybe in Babylon, maybe in Persia, but they noticed a peculiar star in the sky and followed it. It's a journey that took weeks or months, more likely. And the star led them to Jerusalem and to Herod, that reprehensible and evil fox, before it spotlighted on a house in Bethlehem where Jesus napped and his parents tried to. What the men experienced in there was an epiphany, a flash of realization, a lightning bolt of insight, a surprising discovery. Here was the God of all truth and grace wrapped in the fragile skin of vulnerability and weakness. This place was the last place that you would expect to find the Creator of the stars. With gifts befitting of a king, they laid down what they had before the child and worshiped the God they had not previously known. The rest of the story, as you may be aware, involved a heavenly warning in a dream, a madman bent on maniacal power through lies and treachery, a legion of his henchmen scaling walls and breaking down doors, deplorable acts of violence against babies, and Jesus' fleeing family taking on a refugee status in Egypt, of all places. Last Wednesday, on January 6th, at the start of Epiphany, as warnings and madmen and lies and scaled walls and violence and fleeing in our own day breached our nation's capital and our sensibilities. I don't blame you if the breathtaking manifestation of the divine presence was not on your mind. It certainly was not on mine. But it is today. In the lectionary, the first Sunday after the Epiphany, which is today, the story is always the same, the baptism of Jesus. All four Gospels write of Jesus' baptism. Mark's version, which Cora just read, is succinct, short, and straight to the point. Jesus goes under, comes back up, and God's voice thunders from the heavens, "You are my Son, whom I love. I find so much joy in you." I believe that this powerful affirmation from God the Parent is what will sustain Jesus the Son as he heads into the wilderness, where his trust in God will be thoroughly tested. I believe that God's "You are my Son" is what will uphold Jesus through all the delights and all the trials of his brief ministry. At the beginning of this year, with 12 open-ended months ahead of us, I wonder, what will sustain you if and when and as the wilderness becomes your residence? Maybe some of you are already there. What will uphold you in all your delights and all your trials? Here is the glorious truth. God's word to Jesus is for us as well. We are loved. And you are loved. You are sustained and upheld by the God who claims you as God's child. You are my daughter, my son, whom I love. I am so pleased with you. This right here, this is who you are. This is your baptismal identity. This is how you carry on in this world. This is what Charles Powell says all the time to us. For God so loved. Because words matter. Because words matter so very much. I cannot think of a better word for God's people to hear right now. You are God's beloved. Those of you who grew up in the church, born on a pew and never left, you are loved by God. Those of you who found church later in life or the church found you, you are loved. Those of you who grew up in the church but left out of boredom or doubt only to come back later, you are loved. Those of you who have been hurt by the church, by God-awful comments or God-awful behavior or God-awful teachings, you are loved. Those of you who prefer not to go to church at all, but for whatever reason, keep showing up, you are loved. Those of you who know what ecclesiastical means or what the Apocrypha is or can speak in tongues, you are loved by God. Those of you who serve with the worn hands and scarred feet of Jesus himself, you are loved. Those of you who are tired of or discouraged by or burned out on religion, you are loved. Those of you who require medicine to balance out the chemicals in your brain, you are loved. Those of you who did something this past week that you are not proud of, you are loved. Those of you who are lonely or feel forgotten or are afraid or angry or sad, you are loved. Those of you in despair, you are loved. Those of you who still hope, you are loved. Those of you with the faith to move mountains and yield a harvest from mustard seeds, you are loved by God. Those of you who keep praying for more faith, you are loved. Those of you with no faith at all, you are loved. Those of you who are struggling, grieving, grateful, saved sinners, you are loved. Those of you with a warm home and two cars and three bathrooms and plenty of food, you are loved by God. Those of you who lack such things, whether by circumstance or by choice, you are loved. Those of you who are rich, you are loved. Those of you who are poor, you are loved. Those of you who give money to the church, you're loved. Those of you who do not, you are loved. Those of you with children, you are loved by God. Those of you without children or who have lost children, you are loved by God. Those of you who care for your aging parents as if they were your own children, you are loved by God. Those of you who are currently children, you are loved by God. Those of you who are children no longer, but teenagers, stretching your limbs toward adulthood oh so quickly, you are especially loved. Those of you who are young adults or middle adults or older adults, you are loved. Those of you with healthy relationships with your spouse, bringing out the best in each other like Christ and the church, you are loved by God. Those of you whose marriages testify to hard work and a lot of forgiveness, you are loved. Those of you whose marriages did not make it, you are loved. Those of you whose spouse has already passed on, you are loved. Those of you who would love to be married, but it hasn't happened or it never will, you are loved. Those of you who are straight or gay or uncertain, you are loved. Those of you who voted for Joe Biden, you are loved by God. Those of you who voted for Donald Trump, you are loved. Those of you who over the last 2 months suddenly became experts in Georgia's elections, you are loved. Those of you who believe that politics should never, ever, in a million years, ever enter the church's pulpit, you are loved. Those of you who believe the church has no choice but to speak when politics mar the message of Jesus, you are loved. Those of you who believe that Black Lives Matter, you are loved. Those of you who bristle at that phrase, you are loved. Those of you who are frightened because of the direction of our country, or are apolitical or anti-political, or wish it would all just please, for the love of God, just go away so you can drink your coffee in peace, you are loved. Those of you who love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you are loved by God. Those of you who want to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you are loved. And those of you who want to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you are so very loved. Dear Church of Jesus, you are loved with a never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. Your true spiritual work is to let yourself be loved full and completely, and to trust that breathtaking manifestation of the divine presence that is right there in front of you. So, write it on the tablet of your heart. Use a permanent marker and scribble it on your bathroom mirror. Tattoo it on your wrist. Speak it to your kids, teaching them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you drive in your car. When they go to bed and when they wake up, remind them that they are loved by God. Whatever may come this year, whether good times or bad, and probably both, in all the sacredness and scaredness that will come our way, may you always come back to the epiphany, the realization, the insight, the rediscovery, the truth that you, my friends, are loved by God. And it's together that we can say aloud or type now, Amen. In God's great love to us in Jesus, we have been invited to the table to share the body of Christ and the bread and the blood of Christ in the cup. We share in remembrance, we share in joy, we share in solidarity with each other, the Christ who is among us. So for a few moments, with the bread that you got, whatever is in your cup, I invite you to eat and drink at this time with one another. Let's do that now.
From beginning to the end, I can trust you. In your never-failing love, you work everything for good. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. All my hope, all I need, held in your hands. All my life, all of me, held in your hands. All my fears, all my dreams, held in your hands. All my hope, all I need, held in your hands. All my life, all of me, held in your hands. All my fears, all my dreams, held in your hands. In your everlasting arms, all the pieces of my life, from beginning to the end, I can trust you. In your never-failing love, you work everything for good. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you.
The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come.
I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering.
All right, it's time for our offering. So many of you continue to give, even in our absence from one another, and thank you for that. Many of you give online, and you can continue to do that. Many of you drop a check in the mail, and you can do that. Many of you bring it by the building, and we can take care of it like that as well. Thanks, as always, for your offerings, your donations, your contributions to the work that goes on here. All right, family matters. I have four things to share with you this morning. First is, speaking of offerings, Pat Carnes contacted me this week to let me know that our annual Super Bowl of Caring will go on as usual this year. The Super Bowl of Caring is money that our area congregations and synagogues donate that go to Bray's Interfaith Ministry, our neighborhood food pantry. All of our donated money goes to there. We always take up an offering too, and that's going to go on sometime in February. We'll talk more about that in the weeks to come. Just want to give you a heads up about that. Second, this upcoming Thursday morning, our Thursday Bible class resumes. Judy Zimmerman is teaching this semester a class called God's Wisdom for Navigating Life. That sounds like a great topic for today. If you are interested in being a part of that, then King is your contact. It starts at King. Is that 10:30 or is it 10? 10:30 starting this upcoming Thursday morning. It's on Zoom. Again, contact King if you want to be a part of that. Third, I would like to remind you of our mental health resource list. This is a compilation of information and counselors and books and websites and spiritual practices to help with mental health issues. And as we've talked about several times in the past few months, we have talked about the growing mental health crisis in our country. And we as a congregation want to do something about that to address needs that are most likely there within our midst and amongst our folks. Several of you have reached out to me and received that list. We also have some funds set aside to help pay for counseling therapy. If you would like any more information about that or like a copy of the resource list, just let me know and I am happy to get that to you. Fourth and finally, I want you to know that we continue to distribute bags of food each Wednesday afternoon to our neighbors in this area across the street. Many of the folks that we meet with every Wednesday are students in our Reach to Teach program that has obviously been put on hiatus for a time. And many more folks that we meet with each and every week are folks that we have been completely blessed to get to know along the way. When Michael and Lori moved away, we had four people step up and volunteer who wanted to continue the work that they had been doing. And so Bonnie Darrow and Carol Green, Barbara Rice, and Beverly Thetford have taken over purchasing the food and bagging it all. What a gift that has been to us. And then Lou and Pepper and myself and Cora get to distribute that each and every week and meet with the folks. It's a great joy. I want to let you know that that is ongoing. It started again this last Wednesday, this last week. We had taken a two-week break for Christmas and New Year's. All right, that's all the family matters I have. I want to let you know where we're heading for the next few weeks. Throughout Epiphany, we'll be taking the Hebrew Scriptures route as our listening path, with a few of the well-known prophets as our Sunday guides. Next week, we'll start with Samuel. We will jump to Jonah. We'll jump back to Isaiah. We'll jump back even further to Elijah. Their own prophetic imaginations will seek to stir our own, seeding within our hearts and minds and hands a growing revelation of the incarnational God. We'll end Epiphany on February 14th on the Mount of Transfiguration, where one of those four prophets plus another will join Jesus in a clouded conversation. That's where we're heading for a while, and I look forward to that with you. Let's close this morning in prayer, and then I send you out with the peace and presence of God. God of grace and glory, you call us with your voice aflame to be your people, faithful and courageous. As your beloved Son embraced his mission in the waters of baptism, inspire us, because we are loved, to join in his transforming work. We ask this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. We'll see you next Sunday.